हरिः
ॐ सहनावावतु सहनोभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So page 51. The more we try to defeat the arrangement of Krishna, the more we become implicated in Krishna's maya. Daivi hiesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. But one who has reached the point of surrendering to the instructions of Krishna, mam eva ye prapadyante, is liberated, free from Krishna maya. Mayam etam taranti te. Bhagavad Gita 7:14. So, when we try to defeat Krishna's arrangement, means make it for ourselves, then the more we're entangled in maya. And the more we try to see whatever arrangement is there in connection with Krishna, then the more we become freed from maya. So that's the point. Krishna is in control, so it's just a matter of are we going to cooperate or are we going to try to do our own thing. So when we say freedom, we actually mean, not surrendering, going against Krishna's idea. That's actually what it means. So it sounds like it's freedom, but it's not actually.
Am I?
Yes.
It seems easy to understand, but more difficult to practice.
Yes, but the point is once we intellectually understand it, then we're more inclined. Mm-hmm. It means once our doubts are cleared, especially if there's misgivings, then the more willing we are to try to work in that way. And so as we practice trying to work in that way, then we find slowly, we start to apply it. You know, and then when it becomes established, then it works very, very nicely. Okay? Does that make sense? So this is the actual, real meaning to liberty, equity, fraternity. Right? That's the actual meaning. Because real liberty is then acting to please Krishna rather than ourselves. Real equity is seeing everyone as servant of Krishna. Real fraternity is then working together in Krishna consciousness. That's the actual. So the same situation you can do both ways. And we see historically, then looking at modern history, it doesn't work out so great. But we see from Vedic history, then those who follow this, it works out very nicely. So it's just a matter of comparing the two. You're in the situation, you use it how you want. You want the desire to please Krishna, remember Krishna, or the desire to not remember Krishna. That's the opportunities we have. Is that finished? So that's what's being offered. And then for those who do accept in Krishna, then they can be with Krishna and do things with Krishna. Because how Krishna likes is what he takes part in. Right? What he doesn't like, he doesn't take part in. He comes as super soul to sit there and witness, but he doesn't take part. So only when we're doing activities that he likes, then he takes part. Right? Does that make sense? So the Sankirtan mission, he's taking part in that. Those things that we do that aren't in line with that, then we're on our own, and he'll watch. You know, since it's going to be the living entity in Krishna anyway, might as well make it a favorable and have a nice relationship, because the not favorable isn't working out. It hasn't worked out for anybody. It's not like, yeah, everybody has problem, but one guy beat the system. Right? If anybody could have beat the system, it was Hiranyakashipu. Right? Of all the demons, he was the biggest. There was no bigger demon than him. And he could not beat the system, right? I'm saying. You know, as the saying goes, universe always wins. You know, so he lost, you know, and he had all his chips in, and he still lost. From the next verse, it is clear that Krishna cannot be defeated by any kind of mystic power. So it doesn't matter how intelligent you are, what arrangements, you cannot defeat Krishna's arrangements. We may think we are, you know, like a, you know, a man thinks, yes, now we're controlling nature, but are they? I mean, it's like in the last, what is it, last maybe 6 weeks or maximum 2 months, you've had four hurricanes hit America, like that. That never happens. One hits, you know, big ones, one hits, and then it's some years, and then, yeah, the last time one of this magnitude was, you know, 7 years ago, and here it has four of, you know, this top magnitude all in a few months, right? And, you know, these are the lords of the material nature. You know, that's the whole point, is how it's not working. It doesn't work. So that's the thing, we can't defeat Krishna. So therefore, if we work in line with Krishna, then things work so much better. If one gets even a little power of scientific knowledge, one tries to defy God. But actually, no one is able to bewilder Krishna. Right? You come up with something, you don't know how it works. When you figure out how to work, then you use it against what is actually the tradition, what is actually the recommendation. And we think, see, I'm getting away with it. But are we getting away with it? The reaction comes back. It's a problem. One tries to defy God, but actually no one is able to bewilder Krishna. When Brahma, the chief person within the universe, tried to bewilder Krishna, he himself was bewildered and astonished. Because he's the best, right? Above everybody. And so even he can't apply it, so he's bewildered. This is the position of the conditioned soul. Brahma wanted to mystify Krishna, but he himself was mystified. The word Vishnu is significant in this verse. Vishnu pervades the entire material world, whereas Brahma merely occupies one subordinate post. Right? So he's pervading within the 4 billion miles within the universe. But the coverings of the universe, he's not pervading. Other universes, he's not pervading. The space in between the universes, he's not pervading. Right? So that's why it says, Vishnu pervades the entire material world, whereas Brahma merely occupies one subordinate post. Yasyaika nishvasita kalam atava lambya jivanti loma vilaja jagaranda nata. Brahma Samhita 5.48. The word nata, which refers to Lord Brahma, is plural because there are innumerable universes and innumerable Brahmas. Right? So it's going on that. So he has this realization. Before, he has the idea it's just me, but then he figures out, no, I'm just one Brahma in unlimited universes that each have their own Brahma. Brahma is but a tiny force. This was exhibited in Dwarka when Krishna called for Brahma. One day when Brahma came to see him, see Krishna at Dwarka, the doorman, at Lord Krishna's request, asked, "Which Brahma are you?" Later, when Brahma inquired from Krishna whether this meant that there was more than one Brahma, Krishna smiled and at once called for many Brahmas from many universes. So he didn't call for them all. They wouldn't fit. It means they could fit into Dwarka, but Brahma wouldn't be able to see them all. There'd be too many, right? So you have to bring enough to, you know, make your point, right? The four-headed Brahma of this universe then saw innumerable other Brahmas coming to see Krishna and offer their respects. Some of them had 10 heads, some had 20, some had 100, and some had a million heads. Upon seeing this wonderful exhibition, the four-headed Brahma became nervous and began to think of himself as no more than a mosquito in the midst of many elephants. Right? Because even he's Brahma and the biggest in the universe, there are bigger Brahmas. So he's like, oh. Therefore, what can Brahma do to bewilder Krishna? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. As the darkness of snow on a dark night and the light of a glowworm in the light of day have no value, the mystic power of an inferior person who tries to use it against a person of great power is unable to accomplish anything. Instead, the power of that inferior person is diminished. Footnote 23. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 44 to 45 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, The Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So that was 44 and 45. That was 44. Okay, he was bewildered by his own. Yes. So the point is this is the thing, is with Krishna, he being the supreme, it's about that relationship of affection that pleases him. Because trying to use your power, and it can't, because we are an insignificant part of one of Krishna's unlimited energies. Right? So that's the whole difficulty, is that why would we want to do that? So to please Krishna, then we cooperate with him. Then it works very nicely. Srila Prabhupada comments, when one wants to supersede a superior power, one's own inferior power becomes ludicrous, right? Because if you try to, your power may be good within the circle that you're applying it, and therefore you're feeling proud. So if you stick to that, then you'll be fine. But as soon as you therefore now think you'll take on a greater power, then you actually see is that your power is not very great. Right? So both things happen at once. Right? You establish the other person's power is greater, but you also establish that your power is less. It's not that mine's great and theirs is greater. No, it just means theirs is great and mine's insignificant. Does that make sense? Just as a glowworm in the daytime and snow at night have no value. Right? Because in the daytime, snow can make the light brighter. And at night, then the glowworm, you see something. Right? But the glowworm in the daytime, what's it going to do compared to the sun? And the snow at night, where is it going to, you know, it's not going to add any more darkness. Right? On a dark night, the darkness produced by snow has no meaning. The glowworm appears very important at night, but in the daytime its glow has no value. Whatever little value it has is lost. Similarly, Brahma became insignificant in the presence of Krishna's power. Krishna's Maya was not diminished in value, but Brahma's Maya was condemned. Therefore, one should not try to exhibit one's insignificant opulence before a greater power. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Then, while Lord Brahma looked on, all the calves and boys tending them immediately appeared to have complexions the color of bluish rain clouds and to be dressed in yellow silken garments. All those personalities had four arms holding conch shell, disc, mace, and lotus flower in their hands. They wore helmets on their heads, earrings on their ears, and garlands of forest flowers around their necks. In the upper portion of the right side of their chest was the emblem of the goddess of fortune. Furthermore, they wore armlets on their arms, the Kaustubha gem around their necks, which were marked with three lines like a conch shell, and bracelets on their wrists, with bangles on their ankles, ornaments on their feet, and sacred bells around their waists. They all appeared very beautiful.
So because these were the expansions from the Vasudev feature, therefore 400
seem you could say that, but the point is Krishna can manifest however he likes from wherever he likes. Like you see with Gopu Kumar, that he's in Vaikuntha, and Vaikunthapanti comes to meet Gopu Kumar in a private place, and then he takes the form of Krishna playing on his flute and the cows and like that. Because it's Krishna. All avatars are Krishna. So from there he can, because it's Krishna who's there. But because you're dealing with Brahma, he already showed him the form of Krishna, and he just thought he was ordinary. So therefore, now you show him the form of Vishnu, and then he'll have to take okay. That's why then Krishna first appeared as Vasudev Krishna to Devaki and Vasudev, so that you know that God appeared. Otherwise, some people might not think he appeared. You understand? Yes. So yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments. Oh, okay, around the way. They all appeared very beautiful. Srila Prabhupada comments. All the Vishnu forms had four arms with conch shell and other articles, but these characteristics are also possessed by those who have attained Sarupi Mukti in Vaikuntha, right? Because you could think, okay, these are Vaikuntha Vasis. And who consequently have forms exactly like the form of the Lord. However, these Vishnu forms appeared before Brahma, also possessing the mark of Srivatsa and the Kostuba gem, which is special characteristics possessed only by the Supreme Lord Himself. Right? Because Srivatsa means where Lakshmi resides, so she doesn't reside with a living entity, they're all servants of her. And the Kastuba gem is all the living entities, so therefore the living entity doesn't have all living entities. They have themselves, but that's it. Right? So these two are special for Krishna. So you can see, as though they may physically look the same, these two symptoms, they can tell the difference. And you might say, but they'll all look the same, you can't tell the difference. But, you know, if everybody looks the same, you start to notice the difference. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like all parrots, they all look the same, but they can tell who's who. Right? This proves that all these boys and calves were in fact directly expansions of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, not merely his associates of Vaikuntha. Vishnu himself is included within Krishna. All the opulences of Vishnu are already present in Krishna, right? Why do it as this form of Vishnu? Because does he need to do this as Swayam Krishna?
No.
So that's the whole point, is this is that. And that's how Brahma sees him. Because he already showed him Swayam Krishna, he didn't understand. So he shows him as Vishnu, then, oh, now he understands. Right? Yes? Yeah, the Kastuba gem is you could say, is the consolidation of all living entities. You know, shaped like a calf. Is green shaped like a calf. Okay. So that's the potency. Jeez. All the opulences of Vishnu are already present in Krishna, and consequently for Krishna to demonstrate so many Vishnu forms is actually not very astonishing, right? Because it's coming from Krishna. Because Vishnu, all these are coming from him. They're all within Krishna, so Krishna can manifest all these things. It's not a problem. The Srivats mark is described by the Vaishnava Toshini, by Srila Sanatana Goswami, as being a curl of fine yellow hair on the upper portion of the right side of Lord Vishnu's chest. This mark is not for ordinary devotees. It is a special mark of Vishnu or Krishna. That Krishna has that. Right? No other living entity will have that. Because he's the only place where Lakshmi will always stay. Right? And so then if you're serving Krishna, then Lakshmi will be there, but we're serving her, serving Krishna. So that's the point of opposing Krishna. We want the opulence for ourselves. But it doesn't work. No, the opulence is to please Krishna.
Maharaj, in Buddha's chest, there's also this hair, white hair.
But that's just hair.
It's like, you know, the swastika sign.
Yeah, well, that's just auspiciousness.
It's not a real thing. Not
No, it's not. That. Right? Unless he's Vishnu Tattva, but generally speaking, Buddha is always a Shaktivesh avatar. He's always a Jiva. You know what I'm saying? If it is Vishnu, then he'd have, but their point is that it's always auspicious. So you have all these auspicious marks on the body, so that may be one of the markings. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, every part of their bodies, from their feet to the top of their heads, was fully decorated with fresh, tender garlands of tulsi leaves, offered by devotees engaged in worshipping the Lord by the greatest pious activities, namely hearing and chanting. Because that's, of all pious activities, then devotional service, of that, then hearing and chanting. Srila Prabhupada comments, the word bhuri punyavad arpitaihi is significant in this verse. These forms of Vishnu were worshipped by those who had performed pious activities, sukritibihi, for many births, and were constantly engaged in devotional service, shravanam kirtanam vishnu. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. Bhakti, devotional service, is the engagement of those who have performed highly developed pious activities. Right? You have pious activities, so now highly developed means it's devotional. Right, or developed, and then highly developed, then will be even more like this. Right? The accumulation of pious activities has already been mentioned elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11, where Sukadev Goswami says, itam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena maya shritanam naradharakena sakham vijahru krita punya punja. Those who are engaged in self-realization, appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, and those engaged in devotional service, accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, as well as those who are under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, cannot understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. So So therefore, then how the Lord is then playing in this sweet rasa with the cowherd boys, then this is appreciated by those who have that kind of sukriti, right? Or are cultivating that kind of sukriti. But otherwise, other sukritis, then they won't work for this, right? The materialist, he can't understand it all. The yogis, the jnanis, they will not understand. Even the bhaktas who are cultivating Krishna as master, in Vaikuntha, for them it will also, means they'll appreciate it as a form of a pastime, but the actual depth of the sweetness that's there, that will not be appreciated.
So in Gaudiya Math, we meditate on the Ashta Satya Rasa.
In the Gaudiya Math, they meditate on the
eight faces of Krishna.
The Astakalya Lila. Yeah, which Gaudiya Math does that? No, but I'm saying, you said a generic thing. As far as I know, the Gaudiya Math does not meditate upon the Astakalya Lila. There may be individuals in a particular mat that might do that. But as a principle, they're just supposed to be preaching, and these things then come with time anyway.
I heard from one disciple of Puri Maharaj, he introduced this kind of meditation system.
I see. Yeah.
So is it but bona fide or...
Is it bona fide or is it not?
How should we follow the system and try to cultivate more Krishna consciousness?
Should we try to be more Krishna conscious? So if you meditate on the Astakalya Lila, that makes you more Krishna conscious.
Yeah, of course.
Why would it make you more Krishna conscious as opposed to Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill? Or
that means you concentrate on Krishna's pastimes.
But Govardhan Leela is not a pastime. Mother Jashoda binding Krishna is not a pastime. Here, this Brahma Vimohan Leela is not a pastime.
They have a system.
They have a system. Now, let us, how you say, we'll click into another mode. Okay, let us listen to what he's saying, the words he's saying. How you say? I forget what you said. they're meditating on Krishna. Okay. So, the point is Mother Jashoda is not meditating on Krishna? If we think about Govardhan Leela, we're not meditating on Krishna? So you're saying, oh, that was it. There's the system. The system. So what's a system? The system is Vaidhi. So how is it any different? You catch that?
No, I don't think it's different.
It's Vaidhi Bhakti. If you explain it that way, and that devotee who explained it to you in that way, it's Vaidhi Bhakti.
Yeah.
It's not a more advanced system. Because the principle is, always remember Krishna, never forget him. So you're supposed to remember his name, form, qualities, and pastimes.
Yeah.
That's the principle. In detail, you may meditate on the Astakaliya Leela.
It's
a detail. It's just like you may be thinking about, Krishna interacting with the residents of Vrindavan while he's lifting Govardhan Hill. That's a detail. That he lifts Govardhan Hill in that way then thwarts Indra's, idea to punish the residents of Vrindavan. That's the general thing. Then within that, there's detail. So it's just a detail. Just like, they served... So now you have... Krishna is performing his pastimes. He's there at Mother Jashoda's house. That's generic. At this time of day he's taking breakfast. That's more detailed. But then in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, Shukta Shakati Bhaji Nalika Kushmanda, that's even more detailed. You know what I'm saying? So the point is there's plenty of detail that goes. What does it matter what time of the day it is? Right? If you can remember Krishna, you're remembering Krishna. Now if by having the different times of the day that helps you remember, so you know what to put in what time of the day, that because of that time of day you're always remembering, fine. But the point is to think, no, I have to remember him in these eight times, that's just a non-recommended aspect of Vaidhi Bhakti. It's not rag, it's not more advanced.
Is it a scientific system of meditation?
It's a scientific system, but how you say? Notice the words he's using, right? Scientific system, Vaidhi. They're all these are synonyms, or scientific tattva. Do you understand? Why we're approaching it from this angle is because it has been presented that this is more advanced. So they and their Gaudiya Math are way more advanced than all the other Gaudiya Maths, and are definitely more advanced than ISKCON, so therefore you should come and join their Math. Though at the same time, let him go to the Math next door and try saying that and see if he doesn't end up actually physically thrown out on the road, and they'll time it just so that it's just before a rickshaw goes by. Because you don't do that. No Gaudiya Math does that. They only do this with ISKCON devotees. I'm saying that as a 100% fact. They do never try any of these things with any other god. They don't say, oh no, why don't you let us, you're not seeing equally, let us give class or do this. They will never bring it up to another Gaudiya Math. That's what I say. A specific Gaudiya Math, maybe something happens like that, but they're never going to try to say they're doing better. It just won't work. How do you say it? You understand? So they only try that with ISKCON devotees because ISKCON devotees don't know enough of the culture and this and that too that they can bewilder them, right? Isn't it? There's an American saying, I think it's from the 20s or 30s, probably from the 30s, but a sucker is born every minute. It means there's always someone you can take advantage of. So as far as the Gaudiya Math is concerned, we're the suckers. You know what I'm saying? Because someone who actually knows the culture and that, they won't go near. You know, like they won't say that in front this stuff in front of Jaipataka Maharaj. He'll call them out. Because he knows the thing. He knows the culture. The Chutananda says, he knows. So those who know, they do not in any way try. They can tell. Who's you know, it's like, you know, in Sankirtan, you can tell who's the guy you can get money from and who's the guy you can't. So like that. You understand? So you have to be very, very careful. It's just because people say stuff doesn't mean it's not, that's where it is. You know, it's just like, okay, should the 8-year-old kid be reading GQ magazine? So then, what's it got? For adult men, it's one of their magazines. But for a kid, is it their magazine? So then why would you be talking about it? Right? Because the point is that someone is talking about this out on the street already means that we're talking about an unqualified understanding. Because all it will do is create doubt and bewilderment. Right? See, the real thing to do is to go out onto the street, right, where nobody else, no other devotees are, and go preach to people there that are straight up karmis, and try to get them interested in Krishna consciousness and take up the practice of Krishna consciousness. That's called preaching. That's called expanding the mission. But when they go to another mot and get people from there to join their mot, and now they think that it's, you know what I'm saying?
He didn't ask anybody to join them.
But why is he talking with it to you? Why would he talk with you about this? Because you're asking the question means you don't know, so why would he talk to you? See, you have to remember is... Yeah, we won't go down that way. I just take it from experience like that. Those who have been in Mayapur from the 70s, 80s, they know the mentality. Like that. Does that make sense? No? Like, just like, yeah, okay? You know, it's just like, let's say, you could tell the difference between somebody from Canton and from somebody from Beijing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
So the same way, as you live here amongst all the mots, you can tell the difference. You know what they're going to say. You know the techniques. You know all that. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So, the whole idea is that the Astakaliya Lila, it is part of the proper meditation, but that the only advantage to it is if you're always meditating on Krishna, then it just gives a structure in which to put. You're going to meditate on pastimes of Krishna all 24 hours a day anyway. So by putting it into the context of the Astakaliya Lila, then you have a natural form for it to just transform through. But if you don't think of it that way, you just think of a particular pastime and become absorbed, it's not a problem. The Astakaliya Lila is simply a tool to structure one's already constant meditation that's going on. So if we're dealing in constant meditation, it has a value. But if we're not dealing in constant meditation, what's the point? Does that make sense? So it's not about, it's a more advanced technique. It's something for someone who is more advanced to use. It's not that by the technique makes you more advanced. Let's say you don't know cooking. Right? And I go out and buy you one of the, you know, top of the line, you know, cookbooks that chefs themselves use, and I hand it to you. Now are you suddenly now a great cook? You still don't know anything about cooking. And now you become even more bewildered because in the other books, then they'll talk about, you know, just doing that. You know, cut the carrot in, you know, fine slices. You know, like that. But then in the other cookbook, it's going to say, what, how do you say, julienne?
Julienne.
Huh? Julienne. It means the fine cutting, like that. And they don't even know what that means. You understand? It's a tool for, if you know that, if you're already meditating, you can use it. So it's not something mystic, it's not something special, it's not that, hey, you know, that little bit of something that no one else knows that I know, and so therefore that's my, you know, ticket. And this kind of mystifying and doing all these things, it's a disservice to the Gaudiya line. Does that make sense? So in other words, for those who can work in that way, it's there. But the point is you say Puri Maharaj taught, but to who? Under what circumstances? You know? And so it'll get around to the neophyte is talking about it as if this is standard way of dealing. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that you should always remember Krishna, never forget him. Then that means that's what you're doing. And this is a way for those who aren't that advanced, who are advanced but not that advanced, then can make a structure. Because those who are actually advanced, then, you know, what's Mother Jashoda going to think about all day? Krishna when he's at home. Right? So in the morning, she's, you know, absorbed in what he's doing now and that. But then when he goes out to play with the cowherd boy, she'll remember what he was doing at home. So now are we Astakaliya Leela-ing here? No, she's just thinking of what happened before. And as it gets close to the afternoon, and that where she starts to think he'll be coming back home, now she'll think of what we'll do in the evening. You understand? So she's going to think of 2 blocks of time out of 8 blocks of time in the day. Does that make sense? And in that, she may be doing things what she's doing. But the point is you're remembering what the devotees themselves are doing in their service to Krishna. But if you only remember the form of it, but not the attitude, how is it any better? Especially if you think that now I'm advanced and now I can do all this stuff. Then it's just like you're a disturbance to the pastimes. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be very, very careful on how these things are applied. You know, it's just like, let us say I have a rolling pin. Okay? How dangerous is the rolling pin in normal use? Not so dangerous, because you can't really get your hand caught underneath or this or that. Or, you understand? But what about a knife or a grater? Right? Or a hot pan in the oven? Right? Now, let us say you have a 5-year-old kid comes into the kitchen and kind of wants to take part. Is there a problem in handing him a rolling pin and a piece of dough? No, they can keep going with that for hours. But do you hand him a sharp knife or tell him to take the pan out of the oven? No, those are advanced techniques. So you can do what will happen. They'll get cut or burnt. So, yes, they're bona fide techniques. But you have to use them at the place where they're to be used. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. If they're bona fide, we can use them. No, you can't. Oh, so they're not bona fide. No, they're bona fide. So we can use them. No, you can't use them. So they're not bona fide. Why can't we get their bona fide, but I can't use them? But that takes humility. Identifying as servant of Krishna, servant of the servant of the servant. So if I'm not at that, what's the situation I'm in? How do I think of Krishna? Right? So if we're still Astakaliya Leela-ing with our family, then it's not going to work so great with Krishna. Oh, my wife will be doing this now, my kids will be doing this now, and, you know, and how you say, and then, you know, how you say, and then you start singing the song, you know, about the midnight hour, and stuff like that, and, you know, stuff like that. So then it's not going to jive with Krishna's Astakaliya Leela. You understand? So when that's gone and you're thinking of Krishna, then you can structure it into that form. You understand?
I mean, why we should not give devotees more choice?
Is it a choice? Yes, I should give the 5-year-old choice. You know, do they want to, you know, cut off the fingers with a nice sharp knife? Do they want to grate off the ends of their fingers with a grater? Or, hey, why don't I give them the meat cleaver? You know, that could really do something. You know, knives, what do they do? You know, it's like that. The meat cleaver, that can take off a whole hand. You know? Right? I mean, China, that's the standard knife, right? You don't use these funny little things. That's for the Japanese, right? You use this big monster, you know. No?
Yeah, but some devotees, they are advanced.
Some? But who are these? But what does it got to do with you? You understand? What has it got to do with you? What has it got to do with this group?
I mean, at least we know something about it.
We know something about it. I just explained something about it. You should be happy. But no, you don't want that. You want it the way the other guy said. So that means you don't want the Astakaliya Lila in its actual natural state. You want it how you want it. You want it that I know this, now I'm in a special position, and this can be the new thing that we tell everybody, and it makes our whole zone so advanced. You know? Just get used to, you know, that God's a person.
You know what I'm saying? Big step.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So the point is everything has its place. It is a bona fide technique, but unless you're always meditating on Krishna, how will you use it? If you're not in the kitchen, how will you use the pots, all the utensils in the kitchen? You're not in the kitchen. If you're in the kitchen, you can use it. So if you're always meditating on Krishna, you can use it. If you're not always meditating on Krishna, how will you use it? And the point is those who are meditating, then they use. Those who are not, don't use. Because if you can only use it if you're meditating. If you're not meditating, you know, it's just like, does that make sense? Like if you're not in a car, you can't drive somewhere. Oh, but the cars, you know, that's the advanced thing is the car, having the car. It says, no, the car's only useful if you can drive and you can get somewhere. So can you drive? No, but having a car, that's the advanced thing. No, but can you drive? Does that make sense? So just having intellectual opportunities, that is nice for mental speculation if that's your value. But if your value is actually pleasing Krishna and developing pure love, then what's the value? How will you use it? Does that make sense? You know, like I said, you have this small kid with an adult magazine. What do we do with it? You know, or you know, the first grader with the quantum physics book explaining the difference between the string theory and the particle theory. What's he going to do with it? He knows math. He knows that. He's up to it. He likes math. He knows calculus. Now he can look at it and get some benefit. But if he doesn't know calculus, then what's the point? So just saying no, but it broadens our opportunity. Broadens our opportunity for use or for speculation. So therefore, those attached to speculation will say that, and because they can't actually establish it based on the Vedic principles, you have to use the modern principles. No, but give everyone the opportunity. You know, equal opportunity. All these different things like this, and you know, give the chance. You know, you have to use modern. What do you call it? Pranamoyic newspeak to make it work. And then, because as soon as you say no, but everyone has to have that equal opportunity, then everyone's supposed to stand back and go, oh yes, that's the authority for all things. But Shastra doesn't say, so then why should we accept this modern mumbo jumbo? Does that make sense? So you know it's there. Just like the little girl, she knows she'll get married. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to be time. Right now she has to figure out how to, you know, do her duties nicely. Learn how to do the things, you know, behave properly. What's the actual, you know, culture? She knows she'll get married, but she's not, you know, off in the bushes marrying the kid next door, you know, now while no one's looking. Right? That makes sense? You know? Does that make sense? Everything has its time. So when it's time, it's used. And if it's not the time, then you don't use it. It's you know, just like your bed is there. Okay? So is the bed bona fide or not? Bona fide. So that means now you should sleep in it now? No, tonight you sleep in it. Right? And tonight when you go to rest, is breakfast a bona fide thing? Yes, but is it when you're going to go to sleep? No, the next morning after you get up. And then you've gotten up, so now it's time for breakfast? No, you have to brush your teeth and take a bath. You understand? So there's a time for everything. So when the situation is there, the time is there. Because remember, the situations are created by Krishna. So we know things are there, but when it's time, it will manifest. And when it's not time, then you can force trying to use it, but does it work? It won't work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but how far it is? I mean, it's too fast.
So
like, we have practiced like more than like 20 years. I mean,
yeah. So you're going to put a time on everything.
But,
in 20 years, you have to be up to this point.
Like I'm 50 years old. You know how? I mean, when will? I mean,
when? Yes.
I think
who's it? Narottam Das Thakur? No, it's Bhakti Nath Thakur. When will that day be mine?
Yes.
The point is it about Astakalya Leela or is it about remembering Krishna?
Remembering Krishna.
Okay. So, if it's about remembering Krishna, are you constantly remembering Krishna?
Not constant. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay. So that means if it's sometimes, then there's no need of that structure. Because when you're always thinking, then that creates a structure that you can get the variety within. Does that make sense? There's a saying in English, don't put the cart before the horse. Yeah. You get the horse, then you get a cart. Because the horse you can use on its own, and if you have a cart, then you can also do it. But if you get the cart first, then it's useless without a horse.
It's not going to push.
No, it's not going to push. Yeah, and you don't put the cart in front of the horse, the horse pushes it. Does that make sense? So the point is yes, it's bona fide, but you use it at the point that it's natural. It's not that by knowing this, now it'll make things happen. No, it's not going to make things happen. Just like if you don't have a driver's license, don't know how to drive, then, you know, even we give you a Lamborghini, it's still not going to work. Or maybe you don't like that, you want one of those Bugattis or something. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make a difference. Right? I have the little kid, right? The 3-year-old, right? I have the tricycle, right? And I have that, you know, how you say? Koenigsegg, you know, one by one. Okay, now, what can they use? The tricycle. It might be fun to go and look in the car, try, you know how you say? You know, crawl around in it, look at the different things, just like that. But for once you've done that, then that gets boring. So you go back out, get on the tricycle, and drive around. You know what I'm saying? And then there's times, then it has meaning. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in other words, when it has meaning, you'll understand, you'll know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that okay?
As far as the throwing the person out of the Gaudiya Mutt in front of tying it in front of the rickshaw is concerned, one ex ISKCON devotee friend of Bhakti Vikas Maharaj told him that you ISKCON people, you may have politics in your organization, but compared to the Gaudiya Mutt, you're strictly amateurs.
Oh no, we're so amateur when it comes to politics. We're really, I mean, when it comes to dirty laundry, it means ours is like, you know, it's been, you know, it's gotten a little bit, you know, it's sat in the closet too long. You know, we're not talking about compost. No, it's nothing. So that's the whole thing. It's just, those who know. Those who don't. So it's, yes.
I'm trying to understand the talking about here, about piety and devotion. I'm trying to understand.
But they're the same thing.
Yeah.
See, it's piety without devotion, we just call it piety. Piety with devotion, we call it devotion. But the actual piety is devotional service. And if you only take the external form of devotional service, it's called piety. Like, let's say, getting up in the morning, taking your bath, you know, wearing the traditional clothes, doing your pujas and yajnas, doing your japas, you know, whatever it is that you do in the morning, you know, then, you know, does that make sense? That's pious. But if you do that because you're doing it to please Krishna, it's called devotional service. We call it sadhana bhakti. So that's the difference. It's all, why is it called piety? Because the form of devotional service is the actual proper form. So if anybody will do that, even if they're not devotees, it's still, you get credit for that. But you only get material credit. It's just, you just get the piety. So in other words, if you perform the activities recommended in the Vedas, you think in the way, in context of the standards and that of the Vedas, that's called piety. But the actual purpose of that is bhakti. So if you don't perform those pieties to please Krishna, then it's a waste of time. Right? But if you perform them to please Krishna, that's the purpose. So those who please Krishna, that's how they follow. That's why it's the natural lifestyle. So the common point between the materialist and the devotees is piety. Right? So the karmi sees piety. And devotees are doing what they consider as piety. They don't understand it's devotion. So then they'll come together and take part in the devotees' quote-unquote piety, which actually is devotional service. So now they get a jnata sukriti. Now they're getting devotional piety. Before that, they're just getting material piety. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that when we see the activities of the spiritual realm without Krishna, we're only seeing the piety of the spiritual realm. We're not actually seeing the core of that piety, the principle, which is the love for Krishna. So that's why then when we come to this world, then we follow the piety of this world. Right? We don't understand that that piety is supposed to be used for Krishna. Right? So therefore, let's say charity. Yes, you're supposed to be given charity, but how should that charity be conducted? In connection with Krishna. So therefore, you should be giving things that is in support of Krishna consciousness, or itself is directly going to give or produce Krishna consciousness in others, like giving the holy name, giving prasad, you know, giving, bringing people to in contact with the devotees. Or giving charity to those who are engaged in devotional service so they can do their devotional activities. Then that's real charity. But it's just, no, you have to give people, it's nice, it's good, and that, well, it's nice, great. But that's just part of devotional service. We're already doing that. Right? Because that's all part of Varnashram, and we reject Varnashram, so then why are we focused on that when we reject Varnashram? When we're only involved in Krishna consciousness, we don't do all that, you know, rules and regulations of Varnashram, so then why are we worried about feeding people? Right? Unless it's about we're distributing prasad. But if it's just to feed people, then that's Varnashram. So are we accepting Varnashram? No. So then why are we accepting that? So we're just accepting, oh, we're just devotees. Then stick to it's prasad. Let everyone know it's prasad. Tell them it's prasad.
So we say that the form of devotional service and the vehicle to perform proper devotional service is piety.
But as recommended by the scriptures, not our concept of piety, because our concept of piety is morality. You understand? See, dharma is dharma. No one can make up dharma. I mean, people make up their dharmas, but, you know, it's not dharma. But it's going to be, what do you call it? I can't even remember what their name is. There's a group that they wear a spaghetti colander on their head, like that, you know, and say that the God's a big bundle of spaghetti with sauce, like that. And, you know, they just make these things up just for fun. You know, or that, you know, where does it, the Shastra say that, you know, to this kind of thing, then you should wear this color, to that one you should do that, and this one you wear a suit, and this one you wear dress casual, you know, and things like that. No, this is morality. They've made this up. And they all agree on it, therefore, then that's the etiquette. But as soon as their mood changes, it's not etiquette anymore. That's why then we say pranamoy. It's based on what people say. Now it's based on dharma, on the shastra. Then that's going to remain, because there's still the aspect of artha and artha, niti, and kama are still there within dharma. But shastra's explaining it, and you're following because the shastra says so. You're following because of dharma. You may be paying attention to the detail of artha, niti, and kama. You understand? And so if your consciousness is there, well, say he's on the platform of kama or artha. But he's still following it because shastra says. But when you go out of non-Vedic, they do things just because everyone agrees to it. Does that make sense? And as soon as people stop agreeing to it, it's not etiquette anymore. Does that make sense? It's that simple. Is that good? In our Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, there is a tamal tree that covers an entire corner of the courtyard. Before there was a temple, the tree was lying neglected, but now it has developed very luxuriantly, covering the whole corner of the courtyard. This is a sign of Buri Punya. That means that what was it? Before you used to think Buri Punya. Where was that? First line. Oh, the word Buri Punya. See, it forms a Vishnu worship by those who perform pious activities. Right? So it's being taken care of to please Krishna. Because of that, now you see it's doing very nicely. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resembled the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. Srila Prabhupada comments. Those Vishnu forms blessed the devotees with their clear glances and smiles, which resembled the increasingly full light of the moon. Right? So we can see there's the element of sweetness there in Vaikuntha, but the expression is always going to be majesty. Right? So generally, most arrangements are all about all the majestic arrangements and the great, great opulences. But it doesn't mean within that, this is not the glances and smiles. But in Braj, it's just about the glances and smiles. Not that there's not great arrangements, but that's not the focus. Right? Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. As maintainers, they glanced upon their devotees, embracing them and protecting them by smiling. Their smiles resembled the mode of goodness, protecting all the sides of the devotees, desires of the devotees, and the glance of their eyes resembled the mode of passion. Actually, in this verse, the word raja means not passion, but affection. In the material world, rajaguna is a passion. Right? So in the spiritual world, you can use affection and all that. But in the material world, then there'll be passion. So you can see as all the modes are perfectly serving Krishna in their original form. Like that. So things manifest, there's opportunities, then there's interaction, there's things that has happened in the past, there's the changing, the varieties, but the point is it's unaffected by the modes of nature. It's always transcendental. In the material world, rajaguna is a passion, but in the spiritual world, it is affection. In the material world, affection is contaminated by rajaguna and tamaguna. Right? Because you have that desire, you'll get something from it, in ignorance that you can get something from it. Right? But in the Shuddha Sattva, the affection that maintains the devotees is transcendental. So the devotees' platform, all these tastes can be tasted, but they're in their pure original state. Right? But for the materialist, then they're not. They're contaminated by the modes of nature. So unless you're acting according to Shastra and then following according to that, then only there'll be the aspect of goodness. And then passion and ignorance will be involved also, because one's in the material world. But if one doesn't have that aspect of goodness or duty, then one will just have passion and ignorance. And generally ignorance and a touch of passion just to make it, you know, livable. Yeah, workable. So So we can see here is then it's in its perfect state. How Krishna is then glancing and smiling and encouraging the devotees, maintaining the devotees.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.